Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Toronto Maple Leafs walk into Rogers Place and get a 4-0 victory. A shutout by Jack Campbell, making his first appearance since being injured on January 24th. The goal scorers tonight, Nylander, Marner, Spezza, and Hyman. So the Oilers' five-game winning streak comes to an end. Their record drops to 14-9 on the season. 7:53. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight along with Rob Brown. I'm Reed Wilkins on Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. And the Leafs, Rob, I thought played very well tonight. I think you saw as the game went on, the Oilers really struggled to get much going. A good checking job by Toronto, and they certainly capitalized when they had the chances.
Yeah, as Bob and I were just talking, I thought through the first half of the game it was fairly even. I just think that at that point the Maple Leafs were capitalizing on their opportunities, and they had a couple good ones, and then the Oilers didn't. The Oilers had some good looks early as the Leafs turned the puck over a couple of times, but once the Leafs got the lead, then they just shut it down. They did a very good job on the two stars of the Oilers. Every time Connor McDavid went through the neutral zone, he had a player skating with him. So they were trying to take away the pass to Connor, forcing other players to carry the puck in. And they, you never saw a lot of second opportunities. There was very little offensive push by the Oilers. The only line that really had an extended period in the offensive zone was the fourth line. They never got second or third opportunities, and Campbell, every time he was called upon to make a big save, he did. So the Oilers probably going to be a little upset with the way they weren't able to capitalize early. And on the other side, the Toronto Maple Leafs are thinking, you know what, that was an absolutely perfect road game, playing without their superstar Austin Matthews.
Yeah, and the Leafs took control. Two goals late in the first period. Nylander scores on a power play, the only power play of the night, and not long into it, the Oilers lost the faceoff. Actually won a couple puck battles behind the net, but the Leafs then got right back on him and kept the pucks alive. And after a bit of a scramble, he's able to fire one home. And then really a big one just a minute 13 later. It was a bigger problem earlier in the season, but we have seen the Oilers give up goals in less than 2 minutes a few times now this year. And Marner able to walk in and pick a small pot on Smith. And then really the whole complexion of the game changed to 2-0.
Well, it did, because then the Oilers are chasing. And when you chase a highly skilled team, you sometimes force plays, and that turns into odd man breaks or easy outs for the opposition, and the Leafs were able to do that. On the Marner goal, the Oilers had numbers. It was 3-on-3 that turned into Marner being wide open for the shot. So that's something they're going to have to look on video. But yeah, the game did change. When Marner scores, now it's 2-0. Now the Oilers have to get a little bit away from their game plan, and Toronto was just solid. They smart. You can't take penalties against the Oilers. They didn't. Now, I think these were a little more lenient, the referees. I think both ways. I think both teams could think, okay, there was a couple that you could have called, but I don't see either team complaining, because that's the way players like to play. You know, let us play, just call it consistent, and refs were that way. But yeah, when you start chasing good teams, you find yourself in trouble. And what we've seen lately with the Oilers with a lead as the game moves on, how they've shut down the opposition, the Toronto Maple Leafs did that tonight. In the third period, I don't know if there was any point where you thought, okay, the Oilers have got a chance to come back in this one, because they just weren't getting any chances.
Yeah, really a couple of good chances in the third period. Campbell stopped Haas with about 9 minutes left. Puljujärvi had that one-timer. No, even granted, that was a little further out or not from a great angle. But, I mean, the Haas chance was an excellent save. And the Puljujärvi one-timer, he did what he had to do. But Campbell still played well. He was there when he needed to be, sure.
And give him credit. This is a guy that hasn't played in, what is it, a month?
A little over a month
from when Tkachuk fell on him. And he comes back because their starter, Anderson, he's out too. So this was a big night for him, and he gave them a solid effort. And it also shows nowadays how well players train and how professional they are. I mean, we saw Smith come back from injury, being out for a long period of time, and puts together a 6-0 start to his season. Campbell out for a long period of time going against one of the top scoring teams in the NHL. He gives them a quality start. And Toronto had to adjust their game a bit. Their depth wasn't as strong because everyone had to move up a little bit because Matthews out of the lineup. Yet this is the second time they beat the Oilers without Matthews. Hopefully we'll see him back in the next game because it's always fun watching the other team's best players. But the Oilers know when you play Toronto, you can't chase a game. You can chase a game against the Canucks because eventually you will force them into mistakes. Chase a game against the Leafs. The Leafs actually got smarter with the puck as the game went on. They gave up more chances in the first when they were even than they did when they got the lead. And the Oilers certainly next game got to make sure they come out and not have to chase, try to get the lead and force the Toronto Maple Leafs to get out of their game plan.
All right, 4-0, the Leafs win it. Let's get some post-game reaction courtesy Mattress Superstore. Give them 5 minutes and they'll give you the best sleep of your life. Take the Sleepology body scan and take the guesswork out of buying a mattress. Here's Leon Draisaitl.
Just your take on the game tonight, maybe what was missing from your group's game overall?
I think they just won the battles. It seemed like there's a lot of little battles around the walls and around the boards, and couldn't really come up with the pucks, and something that we need to improve on.
It was noted it was the first time all year you guys hadn't drawn a penalty or didn't get a chance on the power play. Is that, you know, the refs calling a little different, or is it maybe just not earning them in a certain way, or what did you see there?
I just don't think we earned them tonight. We didn't work as hard, and just got to regroup and back at it in 2 days.
Rob Tuchkowski, Post Media.
Leon, you guys had a lot of really good looks early on, especially in the first 5 minutes of the game or so. If one or two of those go in, does that maybe change the complexion of things, or do you guys get what you deserve tonight?
I mean, I'm sure it would have changed the game. It always does, but we just didn't deserve to win this game, and that's that. It's pretty obvious that they just outbattled us.
The power play is such a big part of your arsenal. I mean, not getting a couple of looks on that always plays a big difference in how a game turns out.
We didn't earn any power play time tonight, so it's just pretty simple. And if you watch the game, I think it's the game just explains it.
Jim Matheson, Post Media.
Leon, you had 30 shots, but it didn't appear that you had too much traffic in front of Campbell and a lot of one and dones. Is that how you saw it?
We couldn't really get to their net front. Like you said, we got shots on net, but they weren't very dangerous or no second attempts or anything like that. So, again, that's something that we need to look at and improve, obviously.
And when you're going so good, winning 5 in a row and then 8 of the last 9, you hate to say, are you due for an off night? But were you due for an off night?
I don't know. No. But I guess, every team has an off night every once in a while. And I guess tonight was ours. We're just looking to regroup and go back at it in 2 days.
All right, that is Leon Draisaitl as the Oilers lose 4-0 to the Maple Leafs. I think you can hear the disappointment there, and pretty blunt. They were not good enough tonight, pretty outplayed, outworked, and he said it when asked about the refs. He said, we didn't really do enough to earn a penalty either, and lost a lot of the puck battles. And Draisaitl tonight played only 17-19. He did have 3 shots on goal. No, he would have played a little less with, I suppose, not a lot of special teams, too. 5 out of 12 in the faceoff circle, a rare off night for him there. Look, I don't know what the issue is, but I'm comfortable saying he is not 100%. Mm-hmm. And I know, Rob, you always tell me no player is 100% throughout the season, but I would theorize that he's further below 100% than he would like to be. He has not practiced in a week. Yeah, to me, that's a sign there's something that's being protected or nursed here.
Well, that's a huge sign. And as Bob referenced before the game, Leon's a guy that never misses practice. There's certain players, veterans, that use practice as, you know, do I need it today? Do I not need it? Is rest better for me? But Leon's a workhorse, and he likes practicing. He likes working on things. So there is something there. I think the best Leon played in tonight's game was the last 12 minutes of the game when he was playing with Puljujärvi and Nugent Hopkins. That line actually created things over the last three shifts that they had. The line that he's playing with Kahuna and Yamamoto, he is strictly a playmaker on that line. He's not getting looks offensively. Yamamoto and Cahoon, they do yeoman's work forechecking. They'll crash the net. They'll go to the spots they need to go. But the one thing they're not doing is creating anything for Leon. And the hard part for Leon is he is also the team's best goal scorer. I know that I don't think he's leading the team in goals this year, but he's not getting chances other than power plays. So he's doing a ton of work trying to make his line mates better, but his line mates haven't been able to make him better. Having said that, when he played the last few minutes with Puljujärvi and Nuge, that line's created things. Now, I don't know if they're going to change the lines up for next game or not. It's hard to really argue a lot when your team just went 11-2 before tonight's hockey game. But yes, your first question is, Leon got some issue. It's obvious. When you're not practicing at all, you're just playing games, there's something. But the one thing about it is he hides it quite well. I mean, he had 6 points in three games before this. He's second in the National Hockey League in scoring. So whatever's wrong with him, it's keeping him out of practice, but it's not. Certainly not stopping him from being dominant in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think if it were that serious, he would miss game time if it absolutely came to that. And I mean, obviously, as you know, sometimes players are told, "Look, you're not playing." If it was that bad, the training staff would say, "Sorry, well, you know, this is not your choice."
Well, whenever you're playing with something that you can make worse, there's a difference between playing hurt and playing injured. I mean, all players are hurt. They're all banged up. But when you're injured and it could cause you eventually to be worse off down the line, whether it's this season or going forward, that's when the trainer will step in. Obviously, it's not that. I mean, we've seen him dominate over the last little bit as well. But yeah, no, he's a little off. Having said that, the last 10 minutes, he did create and make a number of plays that... I mean, well, you talked about the Puljujärvi play. That was all Leon setting him up there. Hopefully it's nothing, and it's just something that he can fight through and get back to 100% because there's two more really important games against the Leafs coming up.
4-0, the Leafs win it over the Oilers. Whenever the Oilers score five or more in a game, we turn on the Japanese Village goal light on 630shed.com, presented by Japanese Village Restaurants. Thrilled to serve you again for dine-in and takeout. Complete details at jvedmonton.ca. You know, the Leafs are first in the division for a reason. I mean, they're now 16-4-2. It's an absolutely outstanding record. And the one thing I noticed, Rob, especially as the game went on, I thought they did a very good, if not excellent, job of keeping pucks alive. You know, we've seen the Oilers when they're on their game, obviously against Vancouver the last couple of nights, keeping plays alive. Oh, it's going to be cleared. No, we got a stick on it. We stole it. Toronto did that to Edmonton tonight. I mean, Edmonton would get the puck to the top of the circle, almost to the blue line. No, pass intercepted. Puck knocked off a stick. Here comes Toronto again. They were much better in that area today.
Well, yeah, they were. The Leafs, the Jets, and the Oilers are the three best teams in this division, and when you play against them, as we saw tonight with Toronto, they keep plays alive. They get in on the forecheck. They clog up the middle. They read the plays better because they're better hockey teams. That's why Toronto is where they are compared to Calgary or Vancouver or Ottawa, because they can make plays and they create mistakes from the opposition. When the Oilers play well, and they did early in the game, they were creating those mistakes. Toronto, three or four times in the first period, threw pucks away, and that was because the Oilers just pressured them, pushed them, and it just... Toronto got better as the game went on. The Oilers didn't. And that's the difference in the game tonight is Toronto, once they got the lead, they were the better team the rest of the way.
That's our adjustment of the game for Alberta's chiropractors. If it hurts, see a chiropractor. 4-0. Toronto takes this one. Mentioned Jack Campbell, the winning goaltender tonight. Mike Smith will wear his first loss of the season. He stopped 25 out of 29. I know I've been asked a few times, how come he's got a zero in the loss column when he played that game against Winnipeg? He was not in net for the winning goal against, which I know isn't always fair sometimes to the goalie who might
quirky.
Come
it's a
off
quirky
the bench.
Role.
But his record is officially 6-1 in 8 games played. All right, 780-496-0063 is how you can get us on the CertainTeed hotline. CertainTeed, professional grade building materials, pro all the way. But right now, let's go back downstairs, or I guess step back into the Zoom room. Here's Oilers head coach Dave Tippett.
Dave, maybe just an overall thought on what you thought was missing from your group tonight.
We got beat. We weren't sharp enough. They played a strong game. We weren't sharp enough to win. We got beat.
Jason Gregor, TSN 1260.
Dave, you know, when you win as often as you have lately, you never want to lose. But so you mentioned you got beat. You know, you had some chances early, and then you didn't really create much after that. So what do you take from this when your team was playing so well and then you have an effort like this?
Well, you got to use it as a lesson. Just like some of those games we're winning in different ways, you got to use this as a lesson. Like we didn't play very well. We had, like you say, there was a couple chances early, but we weren't sharp and didn't capitalize on anything. We couldn't get a kill on a penalty, and then we chased the game the rest of the game.
So you've been in a lot of these series now, and this is a three-gamer against this team. And what is it about Toronto? You know, everybody thinks they're high-scoring games, but a lot of them actually be low-scoring. Why is that, do you feel?
I think they're both, you know, you look at both teams are trying to be better defensively. Both teams still have some, you know, some really good offensive players, but both teams are trying to play a good team game. Some days it, you know, you get more goals than others, but ultimately it's about winning, and we didn't do enough to win tonight.
Derek Van Dees, Post Media.
Hey, Dave, that first period, you guys had some pretty good looks, two or three really good looks in front, I guess. Is that, do you look at that as kind of an opportunity squandered if you maybe converted one of those looks at a different game?
Yeah, I don't know. It just, we weren't as sharp as we needed to be. We had some looks, but ultimately we were chasing the game most of the game.
Thanks, Dave.
Rob Tuchkowski, Post Media.
Hey, Dave. It's a bit of an uncharacteristic sag for you guys. Was this more of maybe what Toronto was bringing, or was it you guys were just flat and that was all there was to it?
No, they played a strong game. We weren't sharp enough. We're going to have to be a lot better to be competitive in games. And the games against them so far this year, we have been pretty good. Tonight, we weren't very good.
Did the situation get the best of them a little bit? Maybe, you know, first place showdown in Hockey Night in Canada and all the rest of it?
No, you got to prepare, show up to play. We just didn't have it. We just weren't very good tonight.
Jim Matheson, Post Media.
A couple of things, Dave. Their goalie made about 30 saves, but it looked like there was an awful lot of one and done. It didn't look like there was much traffic in front of the net. Is that the way you saw it? Could you not get there? Or did you not? The will to get there wasn't there tonight.
We didn't, like I said, we had a few breaks early in the game, but not enough.
And you rolled four lines. Normally when you get down in a game, sometimes you cut down, get your big guns on the ice more often. Was that because the third and fourth lines were at least keeping the puck in the other team's end?
Yeah, they were grinding. We're looking to find a goal somewhere, and you're looking all the parts, you know.
Final question, Jason Gregor.
Dave, Leon's missed a few practices and stuff. So obviously, I don't know, he's not 100%. Is that something you think that can, is he going to just have to deal with the rest of the year, or is it a nagging thing that can just go away with time?
No, I don't think it's anything that's going to keep him out of any games.
All right, so there a quick question about Draisaitl at the end, and Tippett simply saying, I don't think it's anything that's going to keep him out of games. So that... That is that. And Tip, I think you could hear it in Tippett's voice. And he made a good point. The other four games against the Leafs were, a couple were really exciting and maybe a little more back and forth. I think the two in Toronto were a little more tight checking. But in the five games between these two teams, obviously this is the largest gap that we've seen. And like I mentioned before the game, Rob, disappointing result, losing 4-0 to Toronto. Obviously, he had a chance to creep a little closer to them. You lose out on that opportunity. But I think if the Oilers are going to grow this year and take steps, then you have to react to setbacks. And this was a setback tonight where I think, for the most part, they clearly know what they failed to do.
Well, they do. You could hear it in the voice of Tippett. You could hear it in what Leon was saying. And you could see it in the body language of the players. They weren't happy as this game went on with the way things were going. To me, it was simple. They were chasing. And Tippett talked about it. Chasing a good team is not easy. And this is a Toronto team that... Has had leads and given up. They did it to the Ottawa Senators, so they were complacent in that game. So they weren't going to do that against the Edmonton Oilers. You weren't going to sneak back into the game because they've already been through that. They knew what they did wrong. They learned from that. And this, again, it's another opportunity for the Oilers to learn. I mean, Toronto is a good hockey club. I know that the NHL overall standings can be skewed because the divisions, you don't know really how weighted they are. But Toronto clearly has a very good hockey club. And they've got good depth because they were missing their best player and they were missing their supposed starter. Yet they have now won two games against the Oilers without Matthews in the lineup. So this is something that the Oilers know that they got to improve on. And they'll watch video and they'll come back. And the great thing right now and about this, the NHL and this division and the way it's set up, when you are disappointed in an effort, and the players, you could tell there was disappointment, huge disappointment. When you're disappointed in an effort, you get to come back right away and play that same team. You don't have to sit on it for weeks, a month, 2 months. You get to come out 2 days from now and make amends and correct the things that you did wrong and send a message to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So that's why I'm excited that they're going to get two more cracks at it. And I would honestly expect both teams to be better on Monday. And it's going to be a much more entertaining hockey game.
All right, Toronto wins it 4-0. You can get us at 780-496-0063. We're looking for someone to finish the play. How about this? First-time caller to finish the play. If you've never called into 630 Ched before, we want you tonight, and you'll be our Finish the Play contestant, and Rob and I will do our best to make sure you get your name into the grand prize draw as well. We're live inside Rogers Place, 4-0 Leafs the final. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Okay, appreciate you tuning in tonight. The Oilers' five-game winning streak is over. They lose 4-0 to Jack Campbell and the Toronto Maple Leafs. On the scoreboard for Advantage Trailer Rentals with daily, weekly, monthly, and rent-to-own options, head to AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. In the third, Detroit up 5-2 on Chicago. Wild leading the Kings 3-2. In the second period, Colorado with a 1-0 edge on the Coyotes. Early in the first, no score Golden Knights and Ducks. No score Canadians and Jets. Finals from earlier, the Flames knock off the Senators 6-3. Washington wins 5-2 at New Jersey. Flyers shut out Buffalo 3-0. Nashville wins on home ice 2-1 against the Blue Jackets. Penguins get by the Islanders 4-3 in a shootout. Letang, two goals, including the game winner. Lightning all over the Stars today, 5-0, and the Hurricanes beat the Panthers 4-3 in a shootout. The Edmonton Oil Kings, oh my goodness, Rob, they are cruising again. 7-2.
Oh, think they were excited to get back playing hockey again?
7-2 lead on the Lethbridge Hurricanes after winning 7-1 last night. So... Actually, is it? No, it's not over yet. It's in the third period.
It's going to be how many times did they play Lethbridge this year, too? They play them a lot, don't they?
I think they'll play them six.
Ooh.
So I think they're going to 24 games.
That could be a runaway, those six games. Good for the Oil Kings.
Yeah. We have a question for you before we get to some phone calls, Rob. We have a question for you on the text line. Game day routine, meals, naps, preparation, etc. Not to use it as an excuse, but is the 5 p.m. local start a factor, particularly for the home team? I noticed the Leafs usually get the Saturday home games. Okay, so this person is basically saying, so the Leafs today still played the same time their home game would have been on a Saturday. Now, having said this, on Monday, it's going to be 10 o'clock Eastern time for the Leafs. I don't think that's why the Oilers lost tonight, but the heart of his question is, do variable start times affect players?
They do. I don't think, over the course of the season, it all equals out. For me, this is the worst time, the 5 o'clock time. The morning, if you play an afternoon game, say a 2 o'clock game, 1 o'clock game, you can sleep in, you get up, have your meal, you come to the rink. So it's all normal. When you have the late game, everything is normal where you play. You have your meal, you have your afternoon nap. This one is a weird one because you get up and it's, you have your meal, then it's, you don't have enough time to go back and have a nap. This is the one that throws you out of your routine more than any other game, and both teams are affected by it, but this is the hardest one for me for a hockey player, because hockey players like routine, and this game today, this game time doesn't allow you to stay in it.
Well, the game that went to overtime was 5 o'clock. Oilers won that one. The one they got crushed by Montreal was an early one. So, who knows?
No, put it this way. The players nowadays are in much better shape, much better mentally prepared. Nothing, and Dave Tippett talked about it too. He said, is this a first place game, blah, blah, blah. Nothing affects players anymore like it used to. They're mentally strong than when I played.
Oilers lose 4-0 to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Goal scorers were Nylander and Marner in the first period, Spezza in the second period, Hyman in the third, and really the goal of the night, Spezza's goal.
That was
what
nice.
A play.
Like, seriously, we're fortunate because we get to see Connor score a magnificent goal nightly, practically, it seems like. But you always marvel at the talent of the players that come through here. And every once in a while, you get to see something brilliant. And the Spezza goal was brilliant. He froze everyone. He had the defender thinking it was going across. He had Mike Smith biting bad. Smith had already gone. He was facing still up ice when Spezza was shooting from the side. An absolutely beautiful goal. As I said earlier, Spezza is not the same player he was. Spezza was a great player in this league for a number of years. He's not that player anymore, but if he has time and space, he still can make pretty plays, and that was an absolutely thing of beauty. It was a beautiful goal, and that more or less put the game out of reach for the Edmonton Oilers.
All right, 780-496-0063. We have Chris standing by, who has taken our first time ever calling Ched challenge and given us a ring. Chris, did you want to ask a question or comment on the game, or did you just want to play?
No, I think you guys are both awesome, and Rob, if I saw you on the street, I'd totally ask you to send my boobs. So cool.
Oh my goodness, that's intense.
Well, I will carry a Sharpie everywhere I go just in case now.
Look forward to it.
All right, Chris, just for playing tonight, you get a Hungry Herd premium sampler box. I don't think anybody's ever said that to you before. I'm a little rattled. Hungry Herd, top quality meats delivered right to your door at everyday low prices. Alberta owned and operated. Well, let's see if Chris does indeed have a pair and can win this.
Hyman has been playing banged up lately. He got belted by Jason. Big, hard hit at center, flattening Hyman.
Alex Chason, Chris, scored a goal in the last game the Oilers played before tonight against what team?
Vancouver.
Absolutely, Chris. Your name is going into the grand prize draw for a $1,000 gift certificate to Vision Electronics, courtesy PF Custom Countertops. Support local with a PF renovation. Get started at pfcustomcountertops.com. Well, JP wants an autograph, but not on his body like that. He'll be fine with a sheet of paper. Chris is raising the bar there. Derek says the Leafs played some really good defense against McDavid. I think that's a big part of what made the game for them. Yeah, I thought they defended well overall. Mike from the north side, I said, I think everybody's looking at this lost the wrong way. The Leafs are a better team, period. It's simple. The Oilers just had a reality check. They're not getting much better with who they have. Well, the Leafs are first in the division for a reason, Mike, so I guess they proved it tonight. I'm not going to throw in the towel on the Oilers season.
The Oilers have beat coming into tonight's game, they were 2-2 against the Leafs. I think they're very, very close in ability. I think that when these two teams play, a break or a bounce here or there is the difference in the hockey game. Early in the game, the Leafs capitalized, and the Oilers didn't. The Oilers had a couple of great looks early. The Leafs actually were sloppy in the first 10 minutes of this hockey game, turned the puck over, and they were the ones that created the chances for the Oilers. Campbell was excellent. The Oilers didn't capitalize. They started chasing. When they started chasing, you're not going to catch the Leafs. The Leafs have got a good team. Monday's a new game. Breaks and bounces early in a game will dictate how that game goes, but I think that the Leafs right now are the best team in the Northern Division, but I don't think the Oilers are very far behind.
Certainty Hotline, have Robert standing by. Robert, good to hear from you. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Reed. Hey, Rob. How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Well, I mean, you know what? I think honestly, I think you know what? Despite the Oilers losing 4-0 tonight, I think you know this you could honestly say is the Oilers' first bad game since the, if you want to call it that, since that 5-1 stinker to the against Montreal, from what was it, game 3 of the season or 4, whatever it was. So yeah, I mean, you know, game. I'm not gonna say no, the sky's falling. With our 5-game win streak ended, we lost, and like we had a bad night. And plain and simple, the Leafs came out. They were better. They, you know, when you know the whole, you know, like when the Leafs got a chance, they scored. On Campbell, I thought was good in net, and I thought, you know, Smith. I don't think any of the 4 goals he let in were necessarily bad. I don't know what you guys think, but I mean, and I agree with a little bit with what Leon said there after the game. He said, you know, like we didn't do enough to earn a power play. You know, when we weren't very good, right? So, I mean, you know what? I think the Oilers they just need to regroup and, you know, pick them to, you know, dust themselves off and be ready for Monday because you know what? I mean, you know, when you look at the standings, Toronto's still only 6 points ahead of us, and we still play them 4 times. So, right? So, I mean, you know, I think it's still entirely a possibility for us to catch them for first place. And I think Monday and Wednesday's games will be much more entertaining, and especially if Matthews is back in for Toronto.
Yeah. Well, I hope so, Robert. And again, to go back to one of my ongoing themes, I mean, look at every game as a challenge. Well, mm-hmm. You know, the going into the first game against Vancouver was, okay, you just swept your rival in a home-and-home. You just swept Calgary. Don't overlook Vancouver. Then it was, you had the emotion of a 3-0 comeback to win 4-3. Don't think that's good enough, and it's good enough just to get a split. So now you got beat in every area,
mm-hmm.
by a team that's ahead of you in the standings. So now that the test is, okay, make it a better game on Monday. Push them. I mean, make it a little tougher for the Leafs on Monday.
Well, and the one thing that we saw tonight, this was a rare game where McDavid and Draisaitl weren't the two best players on the ice. You know, Marner and Tavares and Nylander were had better nights. You don't usually see that, and you certainly don't see in back-to-back games where Draisaitl and Connor are not the two stars on the ice. So I would imagine both their lines will be better next game. I thought for the Oilers tonight, their fourth line was good. So, I mean, there were positives in this game tonight. I would think that we would see Koskinen, and I imagine we're going to see a much more focused Oilers team on Monday, a team that's going to come with a little more jump, a little more excitement. And the one thing that we've seen with Dave Tippett, when something doesn't go right, he'll go to the drawing board and try to figure it out. Toronto did a great job limiting Connor McDavid coming to the neutral zone. When Connor comes up with speed and the puck on his stick, I mean, it scares the opposition's defense. Well, Toronto just didn't let him have the puck. They made sure that there was someone taking away passing lanes if the guy's getting the puck to him. So there was other players that had to carry the puck through the neutral zone, and that is the way you play against the Oilers. Don't let Connor touch the puck. You have a better chance of winning. I imagine you're going to see much more of Connor McDavid on Monday, and usually that spells success for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, though. The Leafs, they were good in the neutral zone.
Very good.
Against McDavid and all the other lines, and the Oilers couldn't string passes today, so they're going to have to figure something out there.
Well,
and I wonder if Bouchard comes back in, too, to help with that.
Well, possibly. I know that Bob mentioned it a few times tonight. I don't know if it's a problem, but if Bouchard comes back, my guess is he has to play on the left side because they have 3 righties they're not pulling out. I'm not sure they're comfortable having Bouchard play against the best team in the division on his offside.
All right, we have Rocket and Shane coming up on the Certain Teed Hotline. You're also going to hear from Caleb Jones. The Leafs win it tonight, 4-0 over your Edmonton Oilers. Back after the news and weather. Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on 630 Shed. Rob Brown is here as well. Toronto wins 4-0 at Rogers Place. The Oilers record is now 14-9 on the season. I want to remind you that James H. Brown and Associates Serious Injury Lawyers given $100 to 630 Shed Santa's Anonymous for each goal throughout the season. The Oilers so far this year have scored 79 goals, so $7,900, and they'll try to start scoring again when these teams reconvene on Monday. The CertainTeed hotline is 780-496-0063. We have Rocket standing by. Hey, Rocket, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Three of those four goals for Smith, I mean, seeing eye dog, the first one, the power play goal especially, you know, Smitty lost his stick there as he was coming over, and Thornton cross-checked Archibald in the back. So, you know, he got too deep, obviously, on that play. But if you're Tippett and you're talking about line call, I know he juggles him through the game and he's just trying to generate something, but that doesn't mean he's going to change anything next game. I mean, he's smart enough to know that, you know, they've won a lot of games lately, and he said it himself, he was flat. I like Dreisaitl's comment about, you know, their board work just wasn't strong enough. I thought that was a major factor in the game myself, watching it. But if you're Tippett, is the biggest move that you make just switching goaltenders? Because, you know, Koskinen likes practice. He's rested. He's, you know, he should be raring to go, in my eyes.
Well, I think he will be. And the thing with Koskinen going back in, he's played well. I mean, he's not playing because of what he did in his last outing. He just hasn't played because Smith has been so exceptional. I think Koskinen will be in. As for other changes in the lineup, there's always a possibility of Bouchard coming back in. I don't know if it's going to happen
or
not.
Well, if Neil can play and Patrick Russell's coming
out. Yes. I mean, well, absolutely.
Or even Turris, possibly.
Yeah. Although, having said that, and we talked about it with Bob, Russell, Haas, and Chiasson, that was their best line tonight.
Well, they worked hard. And Haas's quickness, I thought, made a difference.
No, they were very good. I thought Russell was good. But Russell is always going to be your 13th, 14th forward. It's going to go in occasionally and give you exactly what he gave you tonight. Tonight, the Oilers just weren't as good as the Toronto Maple Leafs as the game wore on. And they have an opportunity in a couple days to go out there and be better.
Just some of the stats tonight. We usually give you ice time. McDavid played 2015. Nurse played a lot again, 27-20. Barry played 25-18. McDavid was he took the most faceoffs tonight. He won 12 out of 20. Kara won 5 out of 8. We mentioned a bit of an off night for Dreisaitl in the faceoff circle, winning 5 out of 12. Shots on goal, Darnell Nurse had 7.
Wow.
A few guys had 3. But that's what happened, too. The Oilers couldn't get anything a little tighter, and they were trying to float a few through from the line and get a tip or a rebound. There weren't a lot. Actually, maybe one of their best chances was that Nugent Hopkins tip in the second period, but it wound up going up over the net.
Hey, well, and honestly, if I think back through the game now, the only one Oiler that I saw consistently get to the front of the net was Puljujärvi. He had a couple times where he got to the front of the net and created havoc in front. Other than that, Campbell, there was a number of times where the Oilers would have extended time in the offensive zone, and Campbell would make a save and there'd be no rebound because there was no one in front of him. If he could see the puck tonight, he was stopping it. And the Oilers didn't do a good enough job creating traffic. Give credit to the Maple Leafs for forcing the Oilers into bad shooting lanes and forcing the players in front to take long routes around to get to the front, and that by the time they got there, the play was already dead.
All right, on the CertainTeed hotline, 780-496-0063, we have Shane standing by. Shane, thanks a lot for calling, man. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Reed. Hey, Rob. Obviously, a bit of a tough game tonight. Just got one quick one for you guys. I just want to know why you guys think Tippett might have such a reluctance to go to the Dynamite line, which is Dreisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, and Yamamoto. Like, I mean, even going back to the play-in series, he waited till, like, the last 5 minutes of the last game to put him back together. And then the blender was out tonight, and he still will not go back to that line. And I'm just kind of curious if I'm missing something, or if you guys might have an answer as to why he just won't try that line again.
Shane, I want to ask you something. Do you and I secretly share a brain?
I don't think so.
You've obviously heard me talk about that a lot, especially earlier in the season.
100%. Yeah,
in all honesty, the reason I believe is that the Oilers, if you put Nuge with Draisaitl and Yamamoto, up until the last little while, then you'd be leaving Connor McDavid with very little offensive help on his wings. The Oilers, for the longest time, were a four-player team offensively, and that's why Yamamoto played with Leon and Connor played with Nuge. With the emergence of Jesse, I think now it's easier to make changes because Connor wouldn't be left alone on a line. Having said that, Connor likes playing with Ryan Nugent Hopkins. And I think Leon has played very well and has got fantastic stats on the season, considering his two line mates have been really quite cold for quite a while.
Yamamoto's been up and down.
But it's been a while. Like, what's he got, 1 point in his last, or 2 points in his last 7, 8, 9, 10 games? Like, he's not producing offensively like he did last year. Gahoon had the one game where he scored a couple goals, but that's it. So Leon is playing, and neither of those guys are setting up Leon. Leon's not getting any looks offensively. Is it a possibility they put those guys together? Absolutely it is. But you also got to remember, that means you're taking someone away from Connor. And we're seeing right now, on the left side, there is just nobody that is really a top six forward for the Edmonton Oilers right now, outside of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Well, here's the thing. Now, the problem is he's a right winger.
Who's that?
Archibald.
Yep.
Plays with energy.
Mm-hmm.
He always gives you what he has. Mm-hmm. I know he's not a highly skilled player, but we've seen him a little bit with McDavid, where he's been able to finish a little bit.
But he's a right winger.
But he shoots right.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They don't have a left winger to move up there. I mean, Cahoon, I like what he does, but he's got what on the season? He doesn't create
four goals, two in one game.
Yeah, so he doesn't create a whole lot. So is it a possibility? Absolutely. But then you're making the best player in the league, his team not, his line not as good, if you take away Nugent Hopkins from him. So I mean, to me, I said last year I never would have broke him up. So I'm on the side of putting Nugent Hopkins, Draisaitl with and Yamamoto together. I'm all for that. But I'm saying that then you're taking away one of the big strengths of Connor McDavid's line, and he is your best player.
I'm just surprised. Well, I'm not saying I'm surprised necessarily, but I thought if there was a game to try it, when he started shuffling with about 25 minutes left in this game.
He flip-flopped Leon and Connor tonight.
Right, yeah, basically.
So all he did was those two flipped, and they trying to create something. But to me, I believe it's because Connor enjoys playing with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. That's what I believe.
All right. Is this? I'm a little rattled here. You just go on a usual trip, say to the grocery store, and then all of a sudden, you know, Brad Pitt or somebody really famous is there.
Bob Stauffer.
Bob Stauffer is there. I believe Sirius Gord is on the line.
Wow,
it's an actual Sirius Gord sighting or listening, I suppose.
Am I on here?
Oh, Lee? You're on, buddy. Yeah, you're on.
Listen, obviously it's been a while since I called, and I apologize for that. Or maybe I shouldn't apologize.
No, you shouldn't apologize.
Okay, so first off, as a chronic caller over the years, I have to salute Mike as a first-time caller, offering to sign another male's boobs. there's no way you're topping that. That was tremendous, Mike. I highly encourage you to call back in. That is what people listen to late-night talk sports shows for, okay? Moving on to the series itself, I think you guys would agree, this is kind of a hinge series in the season. I've been looking at these three games for quite a while now and saying, okay, we're going to find out the wheat from the chaff here. Clearly, we lost badly tonight, debatably, I guess. But you know, at the end of the day, if it's a 2-1 split or if it's a 3-0 horrors, but you know, this is a really pivotal point in the season. And what I'm seeing now, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on a couple things here. You know, we've always criticized the Oilers for not having depth. And I'm looking at, well, maybe the depth is actually internal. Maybe it's Nurse. Maybe it's Bouchard. Maybe it's these other players, Archibald and whatnot, who we really didn't count on as being mature, skilled depth that are coming to the fore. I wonder if you guys feel the same way. And then I just want to ask my final question. I'll let you guys carry on from here is, I'm looking at, okay, so Toronto's now number one in the league. I think the Oilers are number three, number four in terms of win percentage. Where does the North Division rank compared to the other four divisions? My thoughts are is that we're like third of the four divisions. It's defense and physical size and physical play that we're not seeing in the North that we're seeing in other divisions. And when these divisions meet up, just like the Brooklyn Dodgers meeting up against the Yankees back in the '50s, it looked good, and then not so much. Anyway, curious what your guys' thoughts are.
What do you mean more about? I didn't fully understand what you meant though about the depth. Like, you mean guys?
Well, I'm just saying we've always criticized the Oilers' biggest weakness besides goaltending and whatnot.
Sure.
Was they just didn't have the depth. But it seems like the internal growth of the players, down the depth chart,
okay,
is providing the depth that we thought we were lacking. And it's homegrown, as it were.
Well, it's definitely better. But I think that we can also tie that into your other comment, too, that if the Oilers were playing a more varied schedule, would we be talking about depth more often, or lack thereof?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I no one really looks at the three American divisions much anymore because you're never seeing those teams, so you don't really have to worry about them until, you know, June. There's some divisions that are deep. At the beginning of the season, I thought, well, what a tough division to be in, the Islander-Penguin division. You know, they got 6-7 playoff-type teams in that division.
Well, Rangers aren't doing very well.
No. But would they be doing better if they weren't playing against those other teams?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. They're in a much tougher division. And then you look at the division that Vegas is in. They've got three quality teams in there. Then they got a big drop-off.
Well, okay, Minnesota and L.A. are doing way better than
anyone expected.
So we'll see what happens there. Like, I would have said the top end of that division was good.
Yep.
Vegas, St. Louis, Colorado.
Absolutely.
And then I might have said that was the weakest division as a whole because I would have thought the bottom five teams would have been poor. But as we said, Minnesota and L.A. are certainly staying afloat.
But are they staying afloat because they're playing those other
and
really
even
bad
Arizona's
teams?
Hanging
yeah, but, yeah. They're playing all bad teams. There's five bad teams in that division. So that's why they're going to have
points.
No,
but that's what I'm saying. Two of the bad teams are doing okay.
Yeah, but because they're playing the other bad teams so many times. So there's only three good teams, so it's not like they've got six good teams to play against. They got three, and if they haven't played them in the schedule because of the quirk, then all of a sudden you wouldn't be as bad. As for the Oilers division, the one thing that we see here, the Oilers division is great on offense, not as good on defense. And yep. I saw a stat the other day where the top seven scoring teams in the NHL, four of them are from the Northern Division.
Right.
So that shows you.
Is that just the good offensive players, or is that they can exploit
bad defense? So no one really knows, and you can guess and estimate or guesstimate what is good and what is bad. We won't really see that till the end of the year. But even then, at the end of the year, when the four best teams go to the semifinals, you're only seeing the best teams out of that division, so you don't really get an idea of which division is stronger top to bottom. If I'm guessing, though, or just looking from past, the Pittsburgh division to me is the strongest, and the division with Vegas in, I believe, would be the weakest. But that's just on the outside right now looking, because I think there's some strong Florida, I think, is very good. Tampa is very good. Carolina is very good in their division.
I mean, Tampa Bay, Florida, Carolina are all doing well. You referenced Chicago, surprisingly good. Dallas is
They're struggling.
500.
Yeah.
They've only played 16 games because of all the cancel or postponements.
And is
not doing great.
No.
Nashville and Detroit are lagging behind.
But again, are they lagging behind because the top teams are so good? And Dallas, you wonder too, the fact that they've had so many times where they've had to take breaks, how that's affected them coming back, because they had a good start to the season, and they've really struggled as of late. But the biggest thing that coaching staffs will tell their teams, don't worry about anyone else anyways. You don't have to worry about those other divisions, whether your division's strong, it's not strong. You just have to worry about the team you're playing the next night. And for the Edmonton Oilers, their next game is against a very good Toronto Maple Leaf team that they've got to go and find a way to be better with, against, and as Leon Draisaitl said, compete harder against. Win more battles, win more races. The Oilers' strength of their team is their power play. And they did not win enough battles and win enough races to put themselves on the power play tonight, and that is a big reason why they lost this hockey game.
4-0, Toronto takes it. You'll hear from Caleb Jones when we get back to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. So the North Division today, the Flames beat the Senators 6-3 this afternoon. The Jets and the Canadiens are scoreless after one, and here at Rogers Place, the Maple Leafs full marks for their victory. Jack Campbell, a 30-save shutout as the Maple Leafs dump the Oilers 4-0. So the Oilers are still second in terms of points, third in terms of points percentage in the North behind Toronto and Winnipeg, if you sort it by points percentage. Let's get some more post-game reaction here, courtesy Mattress Superstore. Here's defenseman Caleb Jones.
It looked like you guys were trying, but nothing was working out there. And just couldn't get the things that have been going well for the last few days going. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Yeah. You know, they came out there, really good hockey team, and I think we were lacking energy a little bit at the start there. And, you know, if you make mistakes against that team or give them a little bit of space and time, they make you pay. So we had some chances tonight for sure, but, you know, they played hard, and I'm looking forward to getting a rematch and getting those 2 points back.
Yeah, all the when a team wins as much as you guys have been winning, a game like this, is it inevitable that you find a game like this after playing so well for so long?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough league. You know, every night's going to be different. But I think the one thing that we can definitely do consistently is our effort. You know, we can win battles and not lose one-on-ones. And, you know, I think we were losing some of those tonight, you know, myself included. And I think next game we're going to come out with a much more, you know, strong mindset and defending first and making sure that we're being physical with them and not really giving them too many chances.
Jim Matheson, Post Media.
Caleb, you had 30 shots, but I didn't notice a lot of traffic in front of the net and a lot of, you know, where he had to scramble and make some great saves. Is that how you saw a lot of one and done?
Yeah. Their D were doing a really good job of making it hard on our forwards to get to the front of the net. And, you know, their goalie was able to see it, and he was making saves tonight. So, you know, sometimes, you know, the other team has good players too. Sometimes you gotta work through that. And, you know, we had, like I said, we had a couple chances there in the third, you know, right in front, but it just wouldn't go. And, you know, we'll move on and just get ready for the rematch.
Thank you.
Derek Van Dees, Post Media.
Hey, Caleb, in that first period, you guys had 3 or 4 really good looks and missed the net. You guys look at that period and go, you know, geez, if we could have maybe buried one of those chances, things would have been a little different going into the second.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it that way. It's, you know, that's a tough one because, you know, like I said, the other team, their goalie was playing well tonight. And, you know, sometimes that's how it goes, but you got to stick with it and make sure you're not giving up too much. And then, you know, you'll get your chances at the other end, especially with some of our forwards we have. So, yeah, I mean, you could look at it that way.
And when you find out Austin Matthews isn't playing, does that kind of change things at all? Or does it change the way you kind of approach the game?
No, not at all. You know, we're worried about ourselves, and we're trying to play the same way every night and be a consistently hard team to play against. So, you know, obviously he's a big piece for them, but it doesn't change the way we play.
Ryan Rashog, TSN.
Caleb, just for you personally, you know, you worked your way back into the lineup and have been playing a reasonable amount here. You look around you, and all you see are defensemen at practice. There's so many on the team right now. How do you kind of carve out your space, and what do you need to do to make sure you can stay in that lineup?
Yeah, we have a lot of good young defensemen and some good veterans, so it's a lot of competition right now to get in the lineup. So, you know, for me personally, I'm just trying to make sure I work hard every day and do what the coaches are telling me in whatever role that needs to be, whether I need to be penalty killing or trying to move pucks. So, for me personally, I'm just trying to keep my head down, work hard every day. When I get my chance, just make the most of it and make it really hard for them to have to take you out of the lineup again.
This taxi squad situation is very different. You know, normally it'd be one or two guys sitting out. But, you know, now the way it is, I mean, you potentially sitting out weeks at a time. How different is that scenario, and how does it change your sense of urgency to make sure you don't end up on the outside?
It's tough for sure. Yeah, I know for me, that was, you know, a long time of sitting out. It's probably the longest I've ever sought out during a season without playing a game. So, you know, it sucks. And then eventually, you know, you kind of get your mindset around that you're going to get it back in. And when you get back in, you just got to be ready for it. And, you know, like I said, you have to play well enough to where the coaching staff feels that they need you in the lineup every night. So I'm sure everyone, you know, on the taxi squad has that mindset, and they do a really good job of keeping us ready to go.
Tony Brar, Oilers TV.
Hey, Caleb, just one question for me. It sounds like you and Leon Draisaitl speak on behalf of the team and not being happy with your effort levels today. So you guys see this team again in 48 hours. What do the next 48 hours look like for you to make sure you guys are ready to go at puck drop on Monday night?
Get a good rest, obviously, and then obviously get a good practice in tomorrow, and you know, watch some videos, see what we need to clean up, and things we can improve on, and then work on them in practice. And you know, just kind of like the whole year's been, it's been kind of game day off game. So we'll kind of flush this one, and you know, just get ready for the next one. You know, we know we can be a good team when we do things the right way. So we're already looking forward to the rematch.
That is Caleb Jones, and you will get the rematch on 6:30 Ched Monday night. It's an 8 o'clock puck drop. Our face-off show will start at 6, and don't forget Monday from noon to 2, Bob Stauffer has Oilers Now. Get more on this game on 630ched.com, globalnews.ca. Thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer here at Rogers Place. Thanks to Cody Jansen, our studio producer back at the 630 Ched Broadcasting Compound. We've been in the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center as the Leafs take down the Oilers 4-0. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. You've been listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Have a great evening.
Ched Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Ched.